Kathleen Harwell and Victoria.
Not to be confused with Dan and Kathy Onerow.
Yes. Very similar.
They're not from Uganda. These guys are from
Seattle. Yes. Yes. You guys know them. So anyway, I would say this, you know, I would say probably the most impactful messages that have come to us, like from somebody who's not here all the time, who just comes in and gives us a word from the Lord and speaks to us, as God's delivered through Dan when he was here before, and several times, actually, and has really strengthened us as a church. Just his prophetic gift has really strengthened us as a body of believers in our calling, in our assignment. And so yesterday, you know, they were going to be coming. We knew that. And so Autumn's like, hey, do you think you'd like to preach? And he's like, I'll pray about it. And he lets her know, yeah, I think I got something. So he's going to share. So we're like, woohoo! So this is just a gift from the Lord, a spontaneous gift from the Lord. We love them so much. Honestly, I feel like God has called Dan and Kathleen and Victoria to our region for a very strategic purpose, for a strategic time. There is a calling of God on the church in South Dakota. It's a very significant calling. And I believe that Dan and Kathleen are key generals in the body of Christ and what God is doing in our area. And so I just love them. They're like super good friends of ours. So I can't wait till church is over to be able to fellowship with them and just hang out with them. So do you have anything you want to say? Yeah, why don't you guys come on up?
Let's give them a hand clap, guys. Let's just welcome them. We've been running with Dan and Kathleen for, I mean, at least a decade. Well, longer than that, honestly. Longer than that. So we just love you guys so much. We just honor you. We just feel so privileged. The Lord would call you to South Dakota, first of all, and then keep you here. And then give you a long-term plan for this region. Woo! Love that. And so, yeah, Daniel, Dan's going to preach. But Kathleen, if you have anything on your heart either, you know, we just love to hear from you guys and can't wait to receive from you.
Amen. Yeah, so we just bless them, Lord.
Yeah, thank you.
In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we just bless Dan and Kathleen. We thank you for sending them to us. And we thank you even more, God. We thank you for their friendship. And God, that you... One of the great gifts you give your people is you give them each other. And God, thank you for all the strength that and the encouragement that you've poured into all of us, God, through them and through our friendship with them. And God, we ask that you would refresh them today, that you would reward and bless them today, that you would honor them today. And we ask that there would be an ease over them in ministry today, and that you would let them hear what you're saying and feel what's in your heart over our church, and just speak it to us, God, that we would see your heart more clearly. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah. Hi. I can't just not say anything and go sit down. That's not me. I just... really was encouraged this morning with the worship. I just feel like, you know, if I'm going to give a little prophetic word, I would say this is a multi-generational church, and God is raising up the generation, especially the young people. I just see that you're kind of the, there's just this synergy, that's a good word, with the young people. And I just saw them worshiping God. It was very encouraging and exciting, and I bless that in the name of Jesus. I bless the kids, all the kids. I just see you are being raised up to be world changers. So we thank you for the multi-generational anointing that's in this house.
Amen. Well, thank you for the opportunity to come speak this morning. We love coming to your church, and we haven't been here for, I think this is the first time I've been here since you bought the facility. So when I was here last, it was still a set-up, tear-down kind of a thing. So that gives you a little bit of indication how long it's been. My wife's been here, but I haven't since you bought the facility. So it's really great to be back. Give you just a little update on where we're at. We of course, came to South Dakota, 14, almost 15 years ago. We were in Madison, South Dakota for 11 years pastoring. And then we went on to Sioux Falls. We pastored there 3.5 years. And this last year, the Lord has us shifting into a new thing for us. We really believe God has a call on our state and on our region, not just our state, but our region. And he's called us to open an equipping center. See, the body of Christ has a ceiling. And it's not just, you know, in our state, it's in our nation. There's a bit of a ceiling on the body of Christ, and there's so much more God wants for us in these last days, but we need to be equipping people not to do the traditional things we've done in the past, but to step into the supernatural, to step into the fivefold, to step into the Book of Acts style of ministry that God says is ours. And so we have been, for the last 9-10 months now, actually going on a year, October of last year is when we launched, we're in the process of putting together an equipping school with 7 schools, the School of the Apostle, the Prophet, the Pastor, the Teacher, the Evangelist, and the School of the King, and the School of the Priest. Just the 7 offices in the New Testament that I believe the Lord is highlighting for this season. And equipping people, not just the young people, but even those who have retired and are ready to be refired instead of retired, and to burn for the Lord at the end of their days. So the Lord is giving us some strategy, and he's pulled together a really good team. So we've been with them. We'll be with them again tonight at 6:30 every Sunday night. We're with them. If you're ever in Sioux Falls, if you ever leave church and you run to Sioux Falls to do things, swing by the healing rooms. We meet there every Sunday night, and it's just a time of soaking in the Lord. It's kind of loose. We don't come with a big agenda. We come just, okay, Lord, now what? And he does amazing things. So stop by and see us if you're ever there. I just want to start out by saying James River Church has always been marked with maturity. There's a maturity here that, you know, when you run around the state and you meet believers all over, you don't always find the level of maturity that we find here. And I don't say that just to make you feel, you know, puffed up, but to let you know that God, he has strategic plans. He has some first fruit, or I should say maybe some forerunning things that he wants to release in our state. And he's looking for the mature to be the forerunners. And so strategies often get released here. And you guys sometimes take risks. You hold conferences. You do things that other people aren't really doing in the state. And that's because there's a maturity on the house. And because of that, I believe the Lord has some kingdom assignments in this season ahead for this house. So God's going to pour out some kingdom assignments on James River Church that are not for James River Church alone, not even for Huron alone. It's for the state and the region. And to be, to have a spirit of expectation, because that is what the Lord wants to do. He wants to entrust you with kingdom assignments. You know, we're changing seasons. You know, we were reading a joke the other day. South Dakota has 12 seasons. You know, and my wife had it on her phone, but it gets to summer and you have summer, and then it says the next season is called Hell's Front Porch because summer gets really hot and humid. And then it says that we go into false fall. We had false fall about a week and a half ago. And we're like, oh, false came early. It's August. But no, then you have second summer, and it came this week, and it got to 80s again. And then fall comes, and I don't know if we're still in second summer or if we're in fall. We'll have to wait and see what happens. But we're in the season where things are changing. And in a season of change in the natural, the Lord tends to highlight changes in the spiritual. And there's some changes happening in the spiritual. There's a lot of changes that are going on. And when I was praying and asking the Lord for the seasonal change in this, for your church, the Lord reminded me of Ruth and Boaz. You know, Ruth She moves back with Naomi to Bethlehem area, and they're new to the city. Naomi doesn't have a lot of food, a lot of money. Boaz is a neighbor, he's a relative of Naomi, but he's got money. But Ruth and Naomi, they're just kind of living kind of at the end of their days. You know, they're end of their supply. They're out of supplies. And so Ruth says, you know, I'm going to go out and I'm just going to glean behind the harvesters. You know, that's harvest season. So as they're harvesting, I'm going to get behind them and I'm just, if they drop anything or if they miss anything, I'm going to collect what I can collect and, you know, I'll come home and maybe we'll make some bread and, you know, we'll have something to eat tonight. And so she gets out there and, of course, the Lord is so good. Boaz takes notice of her. She's probably a looker, right, guys? Boaz took notice of her and went to his men and said, hey, guys, see that one? I want you to intentionally leave her something to glean. And I like to call it handfuls on purpose. So these guys would leave handfuls on purpose for Ruth to glean. We know the story. And so she gleaned and gleaned, and if you look it up, she gleaned so much that it was enough to make 30 loaves of bread, and that was in one day. Her gleaning just that first day, and she went back the next day. She went back multiple days. But that first day, she gleaned enough that it would have made 30 loaves of bread, way more than they needed. And I believe God is saying to James River Church that you are in a season. We know it's harvest season. It's not quite here, but we can see it. We can see the corn is starting to yellow from the bottom up. We're getting there. We're just a few weeks away from that whole process beginning, and we're praying that it's going to be a good crop because we know we got a late start, but it looks like God is going to be with us. Amen? It's harvest season, and I believe in this harvest season, the Lord is saying to James River Church, I'm leaving you handfuls on purpose. I'm leaving, intentionally going to leave things in your path for you to intentionally glean. So to have an expectation of him pouring out more than you would expect to get in a normal season. Amen? Amen. It's harvest season. You know, your new senior leader, her name is Autumn, the season of harvest, right? And also, if you look up the name Autumn, it also means trustworthy and faithful, by the way. And then Jeff, his name, you know what it means, don't you? Means God's peace. God's peace. It's a good season, a harvest season. You have some leaders who are named trustworthy and peace. And I believe God wants to do some amazing things in this season. Amen? Well, what I feel the Lord has asked me to share with you today is about kingdom authority. So as we've opened the Kingdom Hub in Sioux Falls, we've really been diving into authority and kingdom authority and how the church has walked in a level or an element of authority, but how we really haven't stepped into the fullness of the authority God says we have. And so I want to talk to you today just about that, and I'll ask you a few questions. You know, we live in a time where the world is more technically advanced than ever before. You know, we had this down here a few minutes ago. We were reading words from that box. You can pull up your phone, and we could go to church. I mean, right now, we could go to church in Tokyo if we wanted to. We could join their service. I mean, you can literally, the technology is amazing. We were able to spread the gospel to millions of people at the same time. There are broadcasts going on all the time that literally hundreds of thousands, if not millions, are watching collectively together. We've never lived in a season in the world where we have as much technology at our fingertips that can be utilized for kingdom purposes like we do today. It's amazing. We also live in a nation that, while there are some challenges in our nation, for the most part, we have freedom of religion. There's nobody waiting outside to follow you home today because you came to church. You're not going to be persecuted for getting up this morning and coming and sitting in this room. not by human, not by humans, maybe by the enemy, but not by flesh and blood. We live in a society where we have such beautiful opportunity, wonderful technology, wonderful finances. The money, the affluence in the church today is more than it's ever been. We can do amazing things. We can, somebody can get their head together and we can write a whole new Bible for a group of people in Uganda who don't have the Bible in their language. We can fix it. Let's fix it. And today we can give and we can even get it done. I mean, that is, the opportunity is just amazing that we have again and again. And yet, if you look at Acts chapter 2 and on in that book, and you see what they accomplished in those days, and you look and see what we're accomplishing today, now we're accomplishing different things. We're accomplishing wonderful things. But there's something that they had that doesn't seem to still be with us today. There's a power and an authority, and there was a supernatural presence on that first century church that most Christians today, they're their high water marks. Oh, I remember the time when I prayed for Sister Popoofnik and her left ear was opened. What was that today? No, that was like 2 years ago. It was wonderful. See, in Acts, it was, well, we did that 5 minutes ago. Now let's go get Brother Popoofnik. He's got a bum knee. I mean, they lived the supernatural. And you come to our day. We have all this technology. We have the affluence of finances. We have opportunity galore. We have freedom of religion. We have all this wonderful things. And yet, there's something that was on that first century church that somehow hasn't carried through the generations to us today. And I believe God never intended for us to lose it. In fact, I believe their ceiling was supposed to be the next generation's floor, and their ceiling was supposed to be the next generation's floor. So if it happened in the first century church, that should be the beginning of something supernatural and amazing today. There should have been an advancement into the supernatural that we shouldn't look back for our glory years. They should be the cloud of witnesses in heaven looking to us going, yes, oh, it had been wonderful to be alive in the day in the earth today. Now, I don't say that to make us feel bad. I say that to say, what is it that we are missing that they had in the first century church? And I believe what we're missing is kingdom authority. And I believe it's not because we're missing it because it's not available. That's not the issue. We're missing it because we have misunderstood what kingdom authority truly is. What is it truly? And I believe that the church has substituted an inherited gift to the saints from the Lord for something different. And the Lord wants us to return to our first love. He wants us to return to our oikos, to our family, the sons and daughters of the King, so that we can walk in the inheritance that we have as heirs and joint heirs that the Bible says is ours. So I want to talk to you today just about authority. And I want to mess with your noodle a little bit. Now, I want to talk to you first about knowledge and wisdom. How many know that the church loves knowledge? How many have ever been to a conference? You ever been to a conference? Christian conference. You even traveled and stayed in a hotel. I mean, I'm just excited to go to a conference. This speaker's going to be there. The Bethel worship team's coming. This group's going to do this. Oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. We sit in seats. Our bums get sore because we sit for hours. You know, you got to get up and walk a little bit and stretch it out because you're just sitting there. And we get filled with wonderful knowledge. Oh, we take notes till we have cramps in our wrists. We buy the CDs even though we took the notes. We are hungry for knowledge. And the truth is, you have amazing knowledge. Do you realize that if you go back to my grandfather's day, okay, my grandfather was not a minister, but his brother was. And if you go back to that day, back into the 30s and 40s when they were young, and they were going to Bible school. Their Bible school was 2 years, maybe 3 years, depending on which one they chose. And they would take the Bible and they'd write every book into a little pocket size, you know, a little bike book this size, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, paperback. And they would take their Bibles and they would read those little books and they get tested on it. And they just really read the Bible, got tested, and they graduated from Bible school with a Bible knowledge, with some prayer intensiveness, with some evangelism that they did on the side. But they left with a pretty basic understanding of the Word of God. Today's basic Christian who takes advantages of the conferences that are available, that goes from Christian conference to Christian conference, do you know that you have more understanding and more enlightenment, if you will, and more opportunity to look into the things of the Spirit and understand the things of the Spirit? You understand worship in a level that they didn't understand back then. Do you realize that you have as much equipping today as the Bible college graduate two generations back had? And you didn't even go to Bible school. It came to you. That's the day in which we live. We're so hungry for knowledge that it's everywhere. And, you know, you don't even have to come to church. You could go home today and you could get schooled right here on your cell phone. You could take in courses if you want to know about, about the book of John. You want to do a study on it. You can watch YouTube videos until your phone dies from battery juice running out. It's amazing what's available. So we have a lot of knowledge. So I don't want to bring you knowledge today. What I want to bring you is wisdom. Because, see, wisdom is what we use. Now what? It's the know-how. We can have all the pieces. How do we put it together? It takes wisdom to know how to take the knowledge and apply it and activate it into our life. So I want to talk to you a little bit about wisdom. I just want to break down some basic things. I want to spin your noodle a little bit. I want to get you thinking about you and who you are. Okay? What authority do you have in the Spirit? What authority do you have in the Spirit? If you read 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 21, it says this, "And all of this is a gift from God." 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 21. "All of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him, to God. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So that now we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal to the earth through us. We speak for Christ when we plead to the world, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering of sin so that we could be made the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus." It's a passage that tells us that we have been made and called to be the ambassadors of Christ. And what does that mean? That means that if you're an ambassador living in Italy and you're from the United States, you represent the United States. You're in the embassy. You run the embassy. You're over the embassy. You're basically like a mini president when it comes to the embassy in that nation. And you speak on behalf of the nation. You carry the authority of the nation. You can release the authority of where you come from into the nation of which you're at. An ambassador has great authority. In the biblical times, a king would give his sons their signet rings, or he'd give them to some of their ambassadors. And they would travel to other nations with the signet ring of the king, or even into their own nations to communities with the signet ring of the king. And if they stamped that signet ring into a seal, it was just as if the king was there doing it. We are called to be God's ambassadors. We are from a kingdom, living in a kingdom, with the purpose of releasing that kingdom into this kingdom so that the kingdoms of the world can become the kingdoms of our God. It's done through ambassadorship, and you and I, if you have Jesus Christ living inside of you, you are called, you've been given you're like the prodigal, you've been given the new coat, the new ring, and the sandals, and you've been commissioned to be the ambassador of heaven and the earth. You have great authority. You're Christ's ambassadors. Well, I believe the Lord wants to stretch that in this day. See, we have a doctrine of limitation that's always been on the church. It's been there for a couple thousand years. Doctrines of limitation where we try to keep people in their box because, you know, the church structure all these years has been a control structure. Somebody's in charge and, you know, you've got to, you know, I got to be able to make sure you don't do anything bad. So I've got to be able to control you. So we're going to give you some freedom, but we're not going to give you too much freedom because you'll just hurt yourself with that much freedom. And you may make an embarrassment to the rest of us with that much freedom. And what if you get out of control and I can't control you anymore? That would be really bad. So there's a control spirit that's always been on the church. So what we've done is we've limited people. We've taken people into, you're such a worm, but by golly, Jesus loves you. Instead of being, you are powerful to the pulling down of strongholds. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. No weapon formed against you can prosper, and all those who rise up against you will fail. We have limited the church. And so we live in a day where the church has a lower expectation than what the Word of God says we should have. So I'm going to stretch you out of the doctrine of limitations this morning. So let me ask you a couple questions. Let's start with a baby. We have a baby, pre-toddler, just learning to crawl. And the baby's left on a counter. And the parents are nobody's there. The baby's on a counter. There's no way, you know, that baby could fall off that counter. Just all the baby would have to do is crawl over and fall off. Baby's been there, left alone for a while. The baby gets a little agitated, a little, you know, tired of sitting there. So the baby begins to crawl, and the baby, of course, gets too close to the edge, falls off the counter. Hurts to fall off the counter. Whose fault is it? Is it the baby's fault? Well, the baby's the one that crawled off the counter. Is it the baby's fault? No. Okay. Whose fault is it? It's the parents. Okay, now let's change the scene. Same story, different scene. Same baby, same counter. But the counter's not in a home. It's in a daycare. Baby's left too long. Baby wants to crawl over, falls off the counter. Whose fault is it? Caregiver? A parent if it's at home. The caregiver if it's at care, if it's at the daycare. Still not the baby's fault, right? What made it the parents' fault? What made it the daycare provider's fault? Because they were placed in a position of authority. So with authority comes the responsibility of caring for the infant, right? And so when the infant falls off, we can't blame the infant. So when we look at our world and men are marrying men and women are marrying women and we want to blame somebody and babies are being taken out of their mother's womb and we want to blame somebody and the world is a mess, we want to blame somebody, we want to blame the baby for falling off the counter. But see, somebody was given authority. Who was given authority? The church. The ecclesia of God, the people of God, the ambassadors of heaven. And see, if we're not able to fully walk in our authority, then if we're not realizing what it means to fully walk in our authority, then the world begins to do its thing and we're not there to direct and correct and do what God has called us to do. And then when they fall off, instead of us going, oh, Lord, help us to do a better job with this world, instead we go, this stupid world. Those crazy liberals. Those people. Let me change the scene. Landowner. He owns land. He's got a chicken house. He's got 200 chickens out there in his chicken house. He opens his front door one day and he looks out and he sees a fox in the chicken pen. And he says, that stupid fox. I hate that fox. I wish that fox wasn't here. And he closes his door, goes back to his lazy boy. And as he walks by from the door to the lazy boy, there's on his mantle, there's a 308, guys. 308 rifle, scope on it. And there's enough ammunition to kill every fox in the county sitting there on the hearth next to the gun. He goes back to his lazy boy. Stupid fox. The government ought to do something about those foxes. Crazy fox. A few hours later, he goes out there, he opens the door, and by golly, there's three foxes out there. Three foxes in his chicken pen, in his chicken house. Stupid fox. There's like an epidemic of foxes. The government really ought to do something about this. Those chickens? Come on, chickens. You outnumber those foxes 10-1. Get out there and kick those foxes out. What are you doing? And he walks by, sits back on his lazy boy, walks right by his gun. Whose responsibility is it to watch for the chickens? The landowner. Now, the gun represents the equipping. It's the right equipment to get the job done. He's been equipped. We go to conferences. We learn. We got education, man. We know things that our grandfathers and great-grandfathers wish they knew. We've experienced things in the spirit that they dreamed of experiencing. There's been a movement that God is releasing in the earth that's amazing. We have the equipping. The power is that little bullet. You know, a bullet, that's just the tip of it. You go back in the casing and there's enough gunpowder in there. That's where the power comes from. The hammer hits that thing and we got power, baby. And that equipping and the power together, and with a little aiming, and we have our target hit. And then let's just open the wallet of this homeowner, and he has a hunting license that gives him permission to kill foxes. So he's got authority, and he's got equipping, and he's got power. He's got everything he needs, right? How many of you ever shot a gun? How many of you hit your target super right out the game the first time you ever pulled the trigger? How many need a little bit of practice? And it got better with practice. See, sometimes the church may have the equipping, it may have the authority, and it may have the power. But if it doesn't have the training, if it doesn't actually step in and activate all those things and start walking in it, yeah, I'm going to shoot and miss sometimes. You missed. Oh, this isn't working. You just made the foxes mad. Shoot again. See, the Lord is calling us to move in what we have. He's calling us to walk in the fullness of what we have. Amen? We've been given authority, but we need to walk in it. And we need to practice. You already got your authority. You already have your power. You already have your equipping. Now it's time to activate those things and walk in them. I'm going to take you to a passage of scripture as we get ready to wind down here. I want to talk to you about Moses and Joshua and a battle that they fought together. But before we do that, let me just remind you about South Dakota. And your house is good at keeping journals of these kind of things. But 15 years ago, South Dakota has a prophetic word that says, as goes South Dakota, so goes the nation. We're highlighted as a state that has some kind of calling on it to do something in the region that has a national effect, changes our nation. And we start looking at what that is. We try to ban abortion in our state. That didn't work. I was thinking if we could lose that here, we could take it to the Supreme Court. It would get ugly, but hey, as goes South Dakota, so goes the nation. Let's do it. We tried a lot of different things, trying to solve the mystery of what that prophetic word truly meant for our state. And then a few years ago, we were in Washington, D.C. These two were leading, and they had a tent on the mall, your pastors, and we were there with them. And in the night season, this young man, some young man from, I think he was from Louisiana, came by the tent in the night season. There was a group worshiping and praying, and he reaches down and he picks up 5 smooth stones in his hand, and he walks over to some of our prayer team members that were there from South Dakota. He sets it in their hand. He says, "The word of the Lord to South Dakota is you have a 5-stone anointing. You're going to take down giants." And it's not just state giants. These are national giants, and you have a 5-stone anointing. And if you remember the story of David and Goliath, he went to the brook and picked up 5 stones, and there was Goliath, and Goliath had 4 brothers, all giants in the land. And David, he didn't just take 1 stone to go face Goliath. He took 5, which, you know, some scholars will say it's because he thought, well, if I pick on one, the brothers are going to come after me, so I better be ready to fight them too. I don't know. But they said we had a 5-stone anointing. And then, 4 or 5 months later, Kathleen and I are back in Washington, D.C. And while we're there, this word comes around that there are giants in the land, and the Lord is highlighting some of you who are in small and inconspicuous places, like the Davids, to take out the giants. And it was a reminder of the word we'd received when we were at Awaken the Dawn. Awaken the Dawn. You guys are there too. And then for Christmas that year, I was given Leif Heflin's book, Giant Slayer. I thought, Lord, you just keep bringing this up, don't you? And so we live in a day where God wants us to rise up in our authority like a David. It may seem like, well, we're just South Dakota. Well, David was only a boy, remember? Shepherd boy. And Bethlehem was just a little town. Sometimes God likes to use the inconspicuous places to begin a mighty thing. And so I believe that we're living in a day where God wants us to do some mighty things. We are the ambassadors of heaven, and authority is the key, and God wants us to walk in our authority. He also wants us to walk in our power. And so I want to take you to Exodus 17 really fast as we get ready to wind down here. Exodus 17, verses 8 through 16. And I want to talk to you about the Amalekites who had came against the children of Israel, and how Moses and Joshua went out against them. So in verse 8 of Exodus 17, it says, "The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim." Everybody say Rephidim. "And Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow,'" this is Moses, "'I will stand on the mountain, on the top of the hill, with the staff of God in my hand.'" And I brought some props today. "So I will stand on the mountaintop with the staff of God in my hand," is what Moses said. So Joshua went out and fought against the Amalekites, okay, as Moses had ordered. And Moses, with the help of Aaron and Hur, went to the top of the hill. And as long as Moses' hands were up, as long as he held his hands up and that staff was up, the Israelites were winning against the Amalekites. But whenever he got tired and he started to lower his staff, the Amalekites all of a sudden would get a charge and they'd start winning against the Israelites. So when Moses' hands grew tired, they took some stones and they put them under him so he could lay his stones on these hands. You try to machine it, you know. And that wasn't working either. So eventually what we saw was Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other. This is verse 12. "So that his hands remained steady all the way until sunset. And so what happened as his hands were up? Joshua overcame the Amalekites' army with the sword. So Moses is holding up this staff, and Joshua is swinging his sword. Amen? Then the Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered. I like that. And make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven. So Moses built an altar and called it, the Lord is my banner. And he said, because hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites for generations and generations. When you look at the word Amalekites, well, we know they come from Amalek. That was they're the descendants of Amalek, who was the grandchild of Esau. And we know Esau and Jacob were twins. Jacob's name is changed to Israel, so it's the descendants of Israel against the descendants of Esau, really, in this fight. And Amalek was a kind of a bad dude. You go study his story, you find there's some issue there. And the word Amalek, if you look it up, Amalek is a strange word. The A part of Amalek means I, and then the Hebrew word Malek means to chop out or to sever. So the word Amalek means to pluck out the eye or to cut out the eye. That's what the name means. Wouldn't you love that name? What's your name? My name is Scratch Your Eyes Out. That's my name. My name is Scratch Your Eyes Out. Well, that's what Amalek, he went through life with the name, I'm going to scratch your eyes out. So basically his call was, I'm going to make you spiritually blind. I'm going to make you blind. I want you to be blind. So there is this spiritual blindness that was coming against the children of Israel, if you will. If you look at it from a spiritual perspective. And they're at this place, and I ask you to remember the name. Remember, we just said it. I'm going to read it again to you here. They're at this place called Rephidim. And if you look up the word Rephidim, it means rest, ease, relaxation, and idleness. So if you've been on a journey and you pull off at the rest area, you know, to use the bathroom, the truckers are out there taking a nap. You can hear their air conditionings running as they sit out in the parking lot. They're having a Rephidim. That's what they're having. So they come to the place of Rephidim. Finally, we can take a break. We can relax. Just be idle for a while. And at the place of Rephidim, Amalek, Scratch Your Eyes Out, comes and attacks. See, sometimes when we let our guard down, sometimes when we want to just coast, slow down, not do what we were doing before, or not walk in the authority that we are called to walk in, when we want to camp out at Rephidim too long, the enemy comes and tries to attack you in your rest. Amen? So here they are, they're at Rephidim, they get attacked. But the picture the Lord gave us, and I believe he gave it to us so that we can have it today, is that Moses carried this thing around, and it had been used to split the sea. It had been used to bring water from the rock. It had been used to throw it down in the court, and it turned into a snake and swallowed up the snakes of the Egyptians. It had been used as a sign and a wonder, and it was a symbol of authority. So you had a symbol of authority up on the mountain. And as long as that symbol of authority was up, and as long as that symbol of authority was held high, there was victory. Because this other instrument doesn't really represent authority. See, when you go to battle, the other side has weapons too. You may have the authority. This may be my land you're coming on, but they're coming with their weapons. Weapons don't represent authority. Weapons represent power. So we have authority and we have power. But I can have all the power. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the blood. There's power. There's wonder-working power. And we can just start. And how many of you have done that? You walked up to somebody who's in need, and you started praying. It's been using the power of the Holy Spirit in praying. And we see some results, but sometimes we don't see the results that we expect to see. Or we don't see the results they saw in the Bible when they evoke the name of Jesus. Why do we not see it? Because, see, you can swing your battle, Joshua, all you want. You can swing your sword. But the power comes to overcome the enemy when this and this are working in tandem. See, we can't just have power in the name of Jesus. We need the authority of who we are in Christ, who we are as the children of God. And if we forsake this, if we're not willing to see ourselves as people of authority, we can throw our power around. And we may scare some demons off. But they'll just come back because they're assigned to come back. But when we have authority, something shifts. See, when you're an ambassador of God, your very presence releases the favor of God. See, if I'm a citizen of heaven and I carry God and I carry his presence and I carry his authority and I carry his power and I carry the fullness of Christ in me, just like the word of God says, then I don't have to come to Huron, South Dakota and fight. I can just come stand in Huron, South Dakota, and I release a blessing because I am an ambassador of heaven. And there's an authority that is flowing from heaven into the earth when I understand who I am. See, sometimes we fight harder than we have to because we forget that our very presence, where we place our feet, we release the kingdom of God according to the word of God. There's an authority that the Lord wants us to know in this hour. And it's important that we get that part. It's important that we don't put down our sword. Don't quit fighting. This church has been known to fight. You guys have had some prayer meetings where you've gone to war. And you've seen the fruit of your labor, too. You've seen the fruit of your prayers. You know how to wield this thing. You're a great Joshua church. But the Lord is saying, you're also a Moses. And you're being asked to walk in the authority of who you are in Christ, to be ambassadors of heaven, releasing authority. And it isn't as messy up there on the hill. Oh, this is, you carry this broadsword around for a while, it's heavy. You pick this thing up and you're like, wow, I could be one of those people in the parade, you know? You know, this thing's light, but it may be light in the natural, but the sword, evidently that staff wasn't so light. It carried an authority. Because Moses got weary holding it up. Sometimes it takes synergistic synergy. Three people, triple braided cord, to hold up that authority. And so I believe today God wants to say to you as a church that this is the season of the staff and the season of the sword. And you are to ask the Lord to reveal to you what it means to carry the staff of the Lord, to carry the staff of authority. And there are some of you that you see this and you go, that's me. I'm a prayer warrior. I'm an intercessor. I shift things. I want to walk in authority. I can relate to that. That's me. And there's some of you that are like, ugh, give me that sword. Give me that sword. I want to carry the sword of the Lord. And there's going to be times when you are drawn to this. And there's going to be times when you are drawn to that. But what we can't do is choose. You need to be a person of the sword and a person of the staff. And God wants to develop both of those in our lives at this season. Amen? So what I want to do as we get wind up here is I want us to make a declaration this morning. That we say yes to the staff and we say yes to the sword. Amen? We say yes to walking in the power of God, but we also say yes to walking in the authority of God. And to recognize that they're two different things, but they're like a right arm and a left arm. You need them both. Amen? So I'm going to ask for some help. You want to help me? And I'm going to ask, let's see here. How about you? And I'm going to ask these two to stand on these two chairs. I know they're new chairs. They're beautiful chairs, but we're gonna stand on them. Stand up on them, yep. And I want you to hold out the sword, and I want you to hold out the staff and make like an arch. And I want us to do a prophetic symbol this morning. That we say yes to walking in the sword of the Lord, walking in the power of God. This arm is going to grow tired because this is heavy. And walking in the authority of God. Amen? Amen. So if you'll stand with me, I'm going to pray. And if you feel led to respond to the Lord this morning, or this afternoon, I should say, then I want you just to walk up and walk through here. It's just as a prophetic, you're not going to get any goosebumps. You're not going to walk up here and go, oh, Eureka. No, but you're going to make a declaration to the Lord through your movement. See, movement matters. Heaven marks what you do. When you receive a revelation, how you utilize that revelation, heaven marks that. And so we're going to just make a declaration. Lord, we say yes to the authority and the power. We don't want to just be a church of power. We want to be both, the authority and the power. Amen? So I'm going to pray, and then as you feel led, why don't you come up and let's walk through this. Father, we say yes this morning. Lord, we say yes to you. We say yes to your kingdom. We say yes to your authority, and we say yes to your power. And we recognize that our world needs both. Lord, we recognize that the baby will fall off the counter unless the church rises up and becomes the people of authority and power that you've called us to be. So, Lord, we say yes this morning. We say, Lord, will you equip us with your power? And will you equip us with your authority? And, Lord, will you use us? Lord, will we be the representation of heaven in the earth? Lord, when we walk into the store in this city and in this community and in this region, Lord, will we take the kingdom of God with us and will change happen? When we walk into people's homes, Lord, will things transition and change because we've brought in an authority that is higher than the authority in the earth? So, Lord, we say yes this morning. We say yes to both your kingdom, authority, and your kingdom power. And we say, Lord, will you develop that in us in this season ahead? As we shift the season, will this be a season where you develop those things in us? Will you develop those things in us? Lord, may we not be content any longer with limitation Christianity, but we want the fullness of your kingdom. We want everything you say is ours. And we say yes and amen to what you say is ours. So Lord, when we're tired and we can't hold up our staff, Lord, we come together and we stand together like Aaron and Hur. And we say, we will not let our authority fall. And Lord, when we're in the battle, we say, we will fight. And as long as the authority is there, we will win. We thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
That was great. Is this on still? I can't hardly hear myself. That was amazing. I'm so glad Malachi's so strong. That's come down in the wrong time. Great job. Wow, praise God. Let's just stand up. We're going to stay standing. Let's just end in a worship song to the Lord. Dan, that was a great word. I just feel like that is timely. And sometimes, you know, We as a church, we make advances and we make advances, but sometimes there's something that we need to add or strengthen in our body to do the next advance that he has for us. And I just feel like that's what kind of word this was this morning, is like that season changing in order to step into the next thing the Lord has. It's really important that we walk in the authority and the power, both. And so praise the Lord. All right, let's go ahead and just sing to the Lord. Let's worship him with one last song. Let's really just engage. Oh, yep. You to have a victorious week, walking in his authority and his power. And don't forget, if you want to be part of someone else's miracle in Uganda, $10 buys them a Bible in a language that just got done being translated on September 6th. It's amazing. So the jar's in the back. God bless you guys.